This article is brought to you by the best-selling books they write every time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Turning feedback into actionable change. A practical system for making feedback stick, not just sting. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to give feedback that produces real, lasting change rather than a brief, uncomfortable conversation that fades within a week. Be specific about behaviour, not character, every single time. Agree on concrete next steps before the conversation ends. Follow up consistently to make accountability real. Definition: actionable feedback skills are the communication practices that transform observations about performance into concrete, measurable change. They include specific delivery, structured follow-through, and the ability to build a safe environment where feedback is received and acted upon rather than ignored or resisted. Introduction. You gave the feedback. It felt honest. It felt necessary. 6 weeks later, nothing has changed, and now you're sitting across from the same person about to have the same conversation again. This is where most feedback breaks down. It is not that people lack the courage to speak. It is that the feedback they give is too vague, too loaded with emotion, or too disconnected from any real plan. The person on the receiving end nods, says the right things, and walks away without knowing precisely what to do differently. Developing solid actionable feedback skills closes the gap. Here is the truth of it: most of us were never taught how to give feedback well. We learned by watching people who were also guessing. We copied the habits of managers who confused bluntness with clarity or kindness with avoidance. Fear drove us to soften the message until it disappeared. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for feedback skills that you can use immediately. If you want to understand the broader communication context first, the role of communication in meeting success is a good place to ground yourself before you come back here. Why feedback skills are harder than they look. Knowing that feedback matters and actually delivering it well are two different things. I spent years believing the first meant I was doing the second. It did not. Here is what makes this genuinely hard. Fear of damaging the relationship. Most people care more about being liked than being useful. Honest feedback feels like a risk, so they water it down until it loses all meaning. The relationship stays comfortable. The problem stays too. Vague language habits. We reach for general phrases. Be more proactive. Show more initiative. Communicate better. These feel safe because they are hard to argue with. They are also impossible to act on because they tell the receiver nothing specific. Confusing intent with impact. You meant to be helpful. The other person felt attacked. Both things can be true at the same time. Without a clear structure for delivery, good intentions do not prevent bad outcomes. No follow-up plan. Even when feedback is delivered well, it often stops at the conversation. Without an agreed next step and a date to revisit it, change is entirely up to the receiver's memory and motivation. The timing trap. Feedback given too late becomes a post-mortem. Feedback given in the heat of the moment becomes an argument. Getting the timing right is a skill in itself, and most people never practice it deliberately. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your specific observation. Before any feedback conversation, you must know exactly what you saw or heard. Not a general impression, not a pattern of feeling, but a specific moment, what happened, when it happened, and what effect it had. If you cannot name these clearly in your own head, you're not ready to speak. Vague preparation produces vague feedback. Number two, your intention, named honestly. Ask yourself why you're giving this feedback. If the honest answer involves frustration, score settling, or covering yourself, stop and wait. Feedback works when it is genuinely aimed at helping the other person improve. That intention needs to be real, not performed. Number three, a safe enough space. Feedback must be delivered privately, with time set aside and no competing pressures. Dropping feedback in a corridor, at the end of a meeting, or via a rushed message sets the other person up to be defensive before you said a word. Protect the context, and the conversation has a far better chance. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the specific behavior. This step is the foundation of every effective feedback conversation. Most feedback fails because it targets the person instead of the behavior. You are disorganized, triggers defensiveness. The report you submitted Monday was missing the client data section we had agreed would be included gives the person something they can actually work with. Specificity is the first and most important act of respect in a feedback conversation. Before you speak, write down the exact behaviour you observed. Include the time, the situation, and what was visible to others. Describe only what you personally saw or heard, not second-hand reports. Use neutral language. I noticed or I observed, not you always or you never. Stick to one behaviour per conversation. Do not stack issues. Anchor the behaviour to a specific moment, not a general pattern. Example, you are speaking with a team member after a client presentation. Rather than saying you seemed unprepared again, you say, in the client meeting on Thursday, when they asked about the implementation timeline, you said you would have to check. We had reviewed those figures together the day before. That moment created uncertainty for the client about our readiness. That one shift from character to behaviour changes everything. The receiver can examine the specific moment rather than defending their entire identity. Once you name the behaviour clearly, the conversation has a solid place to begin rather than a swamp to sink into. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Explain the impact. Naming behavior is necessary. Explaining its impact is what makes the feedback matter. People change when they understand what their behavior actually costs the team, the client, the project, or the relationship. Without this connection, feedback feels like a personal preference rather than a professional concern. Impact is the link between what happened and why it deserves a conversation. Keep the impact statement factual and observable. Avoid exaggeration. It weakens your credibility. Connect the behavior directly to a consequence. Because of X, Y happened. Describe the impact on others, not just on you personally. If the impact is not yet visible, but is predictable, say so clearly. Avoid loaded words like always, unacceptable, or completely. After you have explained the impact, pause. Give the other person time to sit with what you have said. Silence here is not awkward, it is necessary. This step pairs well with the structured approaches covered in feedback models every manager should know, e.g. SBVI, DISC, which can give you a reliable framework for structuring both the behavior and impact stages in sequence. When the impact is clear, the receiver shifts from why are you telling me this to I understand why this matters. That shift makes the next step possible. Step 3. Invite a response before prescribing a solution. This is the step most people skip, and it costs them more than they realize. After naming the behavior and explaining the impact, the natural instinct is to move straight to solutions. Resist it. Before you prescribe anything, ask the other person what they think. Their perspective may contain information you do not have, and their involvement in the solution dramatically increases the chance they will actually follow through on it. A simple, open question is enough. The goal is genuine curiosity, not a formality. Ask, what is your read on what happened there? Listen completely. Do not plan your response while they are speaking. Acknowledge what they share before adding your own view. If they name the same problem you identified, build from their words rather than overriding them. Script. After explaining the impact of the missed timeline data in the client meeting, you say, I want to hear how that moment landed for you. What was going on from your side? Your colleague explains they had not realized the client would ask for live figures and had not brought the updated document. You now know the issue is preparation process, not effort or attitude. That changes everything about the solution you agree on together. For more on giving feedback without creating defensiveness, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension covers the communication choices to keep the conversation productive rather than defensive. Listening first also signals respect. It tells the other person this is a conversation, not a verdict. Step 4. Agree on one concrete next step. Conversations without commitments are just conversations. This step transforms feedback into action. After you've listened to the other person's response, move toward one specific, agreed change. Not a list of improvements. Not a general commitment to do better. One clear, concrete action with a time attached to it. The narrower the agreement, the more likely it is to happen. The step must be specific enough that both of you can tell, without ambiguity, whether it happened. Name the action clearly. Before next Thursday's client call, you will prepare a one-page summary of the timeline figures. Set a realistic deadline or checkpoint. Confirm that the other person has what they need to take that step. Write it down during the conversation, not after. Memory is unreliable under pressure. If you want to build accountability across your team more broadly, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability gives you a practical system for capturing these agreements in writing so they do not evaporate after the conversation ends. One agreed step, clearly named, is worth more than five vague aspirations. Precision is kindness. Step 5. Follow up deliberately. Most feedback dies here. The conversation happens. Nothing follows. Change does not take root without consistent attention. Following up is not hovering or micromanaging. It is showing the other person that you took the conversation seriously enough to check whether the change happened. When you follow up, you signal that the feedback was real, not performative. When you do not follow up, you confirm the opposite. Schedule the follow-up before you leave the room. Set a specific date. Let us check in next Friday for 10 minutes. When you meet, name the agreed step first. You are going to prepare the timeline summary. How did that go? Acknowledge progress, however partial. Do not wait for perfection to give recognition. If the step did not happen, do not skip past it. Revisit it without shame but without softening. We've agreed on this. What got in the way? Example. 1 week after the client presentation conversation, you sit down with your colleague. They show you the one-page timeline document they prepared for the upcoming call. You say, "This is exactly what we talked about. This is the kind of preparation that builds client confidence." Well done. That moment matters as much as the original feedback. It closes the loop and builds trust for the next conversation. If you want to understand how leaders can make this kind of follow through a cultural norm rather than an individual effort, how leaders can model effective feedback behavior is worth your time. Consistent follow-up is what separates feedback cultures from feedback events. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid environments do not break the feedback process, but they do require deliberate adjustment. When people are not in the same room, the ambient cues that signal safety, attention, and care have to be created intentionally rather than assumed. Schedule video, not audio. Feedback conversations on a phone call strip away too much information. Body language, facial expression, and eye contact all carry meaning in a feedback conversation. Insist on video. If the other person prefers audio only, acknowledge it, but explain why you need to see each other for this particular conversation. Eliminate distractions before you begin. In an office, closing a door signals the meeting has started. Remotely, you have to ask explicitly, "Can you close other tabs and put your phone away for the next 15 minutes? This is not controlling. It is setting the conditions for a real conversation. A distracted receiver retains very little. Send a written summary after the call. In person, you might write the agreed step on a notepad and leave it on the table. Remotely, the conversation ends and the screen closes. Send a brief message within the hour to confirm what we agreed. The specific action by the specific date. Let me know if anything is unclear." This step alone dramatically improves follow-through in distributed teams. It also connects naturally to the advice in how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. Increase follow-up frequency slightly. Without shared physical space, drift happens faster. A brief check-in after 3 or 4 days, rather than a full week, keeps the momentum alive without becoming intrusive. The core process holds. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: giving feedback on character rather than behavior. Why it happens? When we are frustrated, we reach for the person rather than the act. It feels more honest in the moment. What to do instead? Ask yourself, "What exactly did I see or hear?" Describe that, not your conclusion about who they are. The mistake: delivering feedback publicly or in passing. Why it happens? The moment feels right, the behavior just happened, and speaking immediately feels decisive. What to do instead? Pause. Book 5 minutes in private. The short delay protects the other person's dignity and improves the quality of the conversation. The mistake: ending the conversation without a specific agreed action. Why it happens? Once the hard part is said, the relief of finishing makes us sloppy. We close with something vague like "just be more aware of it." What to do instead? Before you close, Name one action and one date. So by next Wednesday, you will do X. Is that clear and realistic for you? The mistake, never following up. Why it happens, life moves fast. Other priorities fill the space. The feedback giver assumes the receiver is handling it. What to do instead? Schedule the follow-up during the original conversation. Put it in both calendars before you leave the room. The mistake, giving feedback only when something goes wrong. Why it happens. Positive performance feels self-sustaining. We reserve feedback for problems. What to do instead? Apply the same specificity to recognition. In the Tuesday meeting, when you interrupted that conflict early, you saved us 20 minutes. That was skilled. Specific praise builds the relationship that makes critical feedback possible. This connects directly to the frameworks in how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I can describe the specific behavior I observed, not a general impression. I know exactly when and where the behavior occurred. I have named the concrete impact of that behavior on others or on the work. My intention is genuinely to help, not to vent or to score a point. I have arranged a private conversation with adequate time set aside. I plan to ask for the other person's perspective before proposing a solution. I will agree on one specific, time-bound next step before the conversation ends. I will write down their agreed step and send a confirmation after the meeting. I have scheduled a follow-up date before this conversation ends. I am prepared to acknowledge progress, not just shortfalls, at the follow-up. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a working process for feedback that produces real change, not just a difficult conversation followed by silence. The difference between feedback that sticks and feedback that fades is almost entirely structural. Name the specific behavior, not the person, every single time. Connect behavior to impact so the receiver understands why it matters. Listen before you prescribe. The other person's perspective changes the solution. Agree on one concrete, time-bound action before the conversation ends. Follow up deliberately. Without it, the best conversation achieves nothing. Adapt the process for remote teams, but never skip the core steps. Positive feedback, delivered with the same specificity, builds the trust that makes critical feedback possible. If you want to go deeper on the structures that support these conversations, start with feedback modeled every manager should know, e.g. SBI, Desk for Proven Frameworks, then move to how leaders can model effective feedback behavior to understand how to embed these habits across a team rather than practicing them alone. For distributed teams, the strategies in the adaptation section above pair well with the approach in how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. Developing strong actionable feedback skills is not a gift you either have or do not. It is a practice, built one specific, courageous, well-followed-up conversation at a time. Frequently asked questions. What are actionable feedback skills in the workplace? Actionable feedback skills are the specific communication practices that turn feedback into measurable behavior change. They include delivering clear, specific observations, setting concrete next steps, and following up to confirm progress. Without these skills, feedback rarely improves anything. How do you give feedback that leads to real change? Give feedback that leads to real change by being specific about the behavior, not the person. Describe exactly what happened, explain the impact, and agree on one or two concrete actions. Then follow up within a week to reinforce progress and show you're serious. Why do most feedback conversations fail to produce change? Most feedback conversations fail because they stay too vague. Saying someone needs to improve their communication tells them nothing they can act on. Actionable feedback names the specific behavior, the moment it occurred, and the exact change needed going forward. What is the difference between feedback and actionable feedback? Regular feedback describes a problem. Actionable feedback describes a problem and maps a clear path forward. Actionable feedback skills ensure the receiver knows precisely what to do differently, by when, and how success will be measured, making follow-through far more likely. How often should feedback conversations happen at work? Feedback conversations should happen consistently, not just at annual reviews. Regular, shorter feedback cycles, weekly or fortnightly check-ins, are far more effective than infrequent, high-stakes reviews. Consistent delivery builds trust and makes feedback a normal part of working life, not a dreaded event. How do you receive feedback and turn it into action? Receive feedback by listening fully before responding. Resist the urge to defend or explain. Ask one clarifying question to confirm you understand the specific behavior being discussed. Then name one concrete step you will take. Follow through on that step before the next conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.